passage. We did Simeon, and so oftentimes Anna gets kind of, she's an afterthought, and I don't think that's very fair. So turn to page 59. We'll finish, because I've always thought of them as a pair. I always feel like they're kind of doing the same thing for us. So we do just three verses, Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38. Listen now for a word from God. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Merciful and compassionate God, we give you thanks for this time together, time away from so many tasks and worries. Help us to take this time to be together and to sit at your feet. Help us to do something good with this time for Christ's sake. Amen. So when I was thinking about you, all of you today, I was thinking about you. You are faithful. You are faithful people. When the scripture talks about Simeon, righteous and devout, I was thinking of you. Talked to a buddy of mine this week. I said, man, we did it up Christmas Eve. We did it up. Now I got this sermon on the 31st. I really don't know what to talk about. He said, doesn't matter. Nobody's coming. Say whatever you want. I said, I'm not talking about the nobodies who aren't coming. I'm talking about the somebodies who are going to come. And he said, whatever. Well, the somebodies, you're a somebody. You are faithful. You are faithful. Now, you may not think of yourself like that. I may feel a little bit arrogant. You may start to get, you know, puffed up. Heard about the story of the congregation that had such a humble pastor. They gave him a button that said, most humble pastor. He wore it around all week. They had to take it away from him. Had to take it away. That's such a terrible joke. Thank you, Debbie, for laughing at that. But you are faithful, and faithfulness is, it's not a you're faithful, you're not faithful. It's not like a light switch on and off. Faithfulness is our approach. Faithfulness is our endeavor. We try to be faithful. We are faithful. We want to be more faithful, right? It's not that we have our arms around faithfulness and we're grabbing a hold of it, but it's about obedience, listening with the ear of our heart, as St. Benedict of Nursia would talk about, or it's about endurance, perseverance. So on December 31st, faithfulness is showing up. We're showing up. Here we are. We've all showed up. Better and worse. Things going on in our lives that are good. Things that are going on in our lives that are not so good. But we're showing up. This is our struggle to be faithful and to seek more faithfulness. And so we have two terrific examples in the scripture today of faithfulness and how faithfulness looks. As I looked at the scripture today and thought about what to talk about, something sort of hit me. And so I wonder, just by a show of hands, I know how much you like to play games in church. How many of you would say you're an introvert? Raise your hand if you're an introvert. I know you don't want to because you're introverts. Introverts is the last thing they want to do. You're introverts. All right. That's very good. Thank you, introverts, for raising your hand. I really appreciate it. How many of you would say you're extroverts? Raise your hand by a show of hands. Extroverts, you have been sent away from home. Please, just go to church. Take all that extroversion with you. Don't tell me again. Just go there. Tell them. We're tired of you here. We all had a meeting. all of us introverts had a meeting separately by ourselves. We've all spoken together through correspondence. Go. So, some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. The reason why we use those two categories is they kind of seem kind of useful, right? Some of us introverts, we process things by ourselves, gather information, sort of think about it. We work our little machines, and we come to some conclusions. That's kind of how we process things. Extroverts, they process out loud in groups. It's like the world is a ping pong game, and they're constantly serving ping pong balls at everybody. Life is table tennis. None of us want to play, but it's happening, and they're just processing out loud all the time, right? Introverts are recharging by themselves. They may go out in the world and do great, amazing things. They have to have downtime, me time, recharge. Extroverts go out and do, they think, amazing things in the world, and it just fuels them up to just talk more, right? You may not realize it, but I'm an extrovert. Some of you really disagree with that. It's fascinating. When I was told that I was an introvert by someone, I thought, that is the highest compliment an extrovert could ever be paid, that someone would think that they're an introvert. As I looked at the scripture today, I saw that breakdown of extrovert and introvert, and also why it's not really as helpful as we might think it is. Looks like, just at first blush, Simeon is the extrovert. Simeon is in the temple. Simeon is going around doing things. He's fulfilling his priestly duty. He's receiving Jesus, feeling that culmination of his life's work, speaking out, singing, it seems, according to Luke, or at least being poetic. Master, now you can, this is so extroverted, Master, now you can dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your glory. Excuse me, it's so extroverted, I have to cough and expectorate. It's very touching, the gospel. It's still touching, hold on. Think about something by yourselves for a second. Healthy. So, there he is. Simeon is being highly extroverted, it seems. He has this great little piece. He's blessing the child. He's saying things that seem a little mysterious to Mary. A sword will pierce your own heart too, the sword of discrimination that separates brother from brother, parent from child, right? So, it seems like he's the extroverted figure. Kind of seems like Anna is maybe the more introverted. She doesn't get a line. If you have to play Anna in the church play, it will be kind of disappointing. You don't have a line to memorize. Introverts would love that. They could show up and not have to talk. But she's doing some things too. So maybe she seems introverted and Simeon seems extroverted. But if you kind of make a little chart of the main things that they're doing in the story, you see how those two categories kind of break down. The two things Simeon is busy doing is he's busy waiting. The New Revised Standard Version has a kind of a neat little translation that he is looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He is waiting expectantly. He's hoping for something to happen. His whole life, he's heard from the Holy Spirit testifying in his heart that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he is looking forward. Now, is that a passive action? Or is that an active action? That's kind of a redundant thing to say, but is that a contemplative thing? Or is that an active thing? It's kind of both, right? And then the other main thing he does is he takes Jesus in his arms, and he praises God, saying or singing the words, Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace. Well, that seems very active. But for those of us who have sung in small ensembles or choirs, you know that as much action as you're doing, singing and breathing and all that, you're also supposed to listen. So there's active and passive in that. Just like in waiting, we might think of it as primarily a passive thing that we're doing, but to wait, there's really some action associated with waiting, isn't there? Waiting is very hard for us to do. So there's both. And the more I think about it, Simeon is a priest, which even though is an active calling, there's certainly a lot of contemplative or passive or introverted aspects of it to be the mediator between the people and God, right? So it's both. It's kind of mixed. We'll look at Anna a second. The two things that Luke says she's doing in the temple, fasting and prayer. Well, I guess fasting is kind of passive. It's at least a negative action. What are you doing? Well, I'm not eating, I'm fasting. But when you think about it, fasting is really about doing something. It's about paying attention. It's about being attentive to the fact that if we skip two meals, our stomach starts to talk to us. We start to realize that we are dependent. We are dependent on food. And then we make the turn, we are dependent on God, who opens his hand and gives us all good things, as the psalm says. So fasting might feel a little bit passive, but there's certainly an active element, right? What about prayer? Prayer, we might think of that as sort of talking to God. Is that a good definition of prayer? Maybe, talking to God. A lot of us like to talk. Talk, talk, talk. I get paid to do it. Much to my satisfaction over my second grade teacher, Mrs. Hamilton, who did not want me to talk and taped my mouth shut, which I think you know that story, so we don't have to go into that in the last service of the year. But prayer, if prayer is talking to God only, we've got a problem. I mean, you can go through your acronym, right? Prayer, let's see, prayers of adoration, and you can tell God how great God is, and you can confess how awful you are, and you can give thanks for all the great things that are happening in your life, and you can supplicate, whatever that is. Maybe that's asking for help for others, or you go through all that and talk, 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 and then what? Mother Teresa said that when she prayed, she listened to God. What's prayer, Mother Teresa? It's listening to God. Everybody got really excited. You listen to God. What does God say? And she said, God listens too. We are sitting in silence with God. We're listening to God. God is listening to us. We're being together. We don't have to say anything. So prayer is both this active and contemplative, right? So now it's all just messed up. We have action that leads into contemplation, contemplation that leads into action. We have this extroversion that pushes us into introversion, and introversion that pushes us into extroversion. It's both. It's all happening, and it's both. And so for us, on December 31st, 2017, on the cusp of turning the page to the new year, we're thinking about these practices of fasting and prayer, of praising God, maybe through singing, maybe not. Depends on your voice, I suppose, and your calling. Waiting, hoping, looking forward. Whatever these practices are that we're dealing with, we ask ourselves, how am I going to be faithful in 2018? What will faithfulness look like for you individually? And we can blow it up corporately for First Pres. What will faithfulness look like? What will the shape of faithfulness be for us? Maybe you haven't made your New Year's resolution yet, or your several New Year's resolutions. A lot of people, I'm going to exercise more, eat less, because that always works. I don't know what your New Year's resolutions will be, but you have a day to come up with some. So I want to challenge you to think about maybe what your faithfulness will look like in 2018. Maybe there's a particular prayer practice or Christian practice that you would want to engage in. Some people get really excited about reading the Bible through in a year, right? Some people are, I don't know if that's kind of bubbling up with anybody. I'm gonna read the Bible through in a year. Had one guy, happened to be a Marine, came into my office one time back in Missouri. And if this is being recorded, this never happened. I'm just making it up. Came into my office, or not, and said, "Well, I did it. I read the Bible through in a year." That's exactly what his voice sounded like. You guys don't realize what an amazing impression that is. And I said, "Way to go. Good job." He was very excited about that. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that he still has to read it. I mean, like, I didn't have a certificate or anything. It's like, you're going to just read it again. I mean, that's how the Bible works. But whatever helps you to read it, whether it's read the Bible through in 1 year or 3 years, or just read the best bits, you know, like we did the story together, whatever helps you, that's what your faithfulness looks like. I want to support that. Or maybe, and I know this is for me as an extrovert, I need more silence in my life. In the past few months, I've been engaging with more silence each day, intentionally being silent with God. And that's been immensely helpful because I have words and I make words and I mine words all the time. I don't need more words. I need more silence. That's where I'm at. You have to figure out kind of where you're at. No one can really tell you. And so that's the work that you have in the next, 24 hours or so, is to figure out what will faithfulness look like for you. It might not look the way it did for Simeon or for Anna. It might look a little different. It might not look the way the faithfulness looked for Jesus or for Mary and Joseph. But as we look across the temple and see all the people coming and going, see all the people that were active, the priests and the prophets and all these people, we have to figure out what will our faithfulness look like for 2018. And the good news is if you can't figure it out, you can figure it out, each day. If you don't figure it out by tomorrow, it's okay. You can decide on the 2nd or the 3rd or the 4th. But I hope you will take this on as a challenge. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks and praise that you call us together. You call us to be your people, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We're thankful that you take us under your wing, your redeeming wing, and in Christ we have new life. And so as we remember the faithfulness of those seated to our right and to our left, and we're thankful for them, we're also mindful of Simeon and Anna, Mary and Joseph, all the faithful of every time and place, the great cloud of witnesses. Help us as we approach the new year, help us to figure out what our faithfulness will look like and how you are calling us forward into new life. We ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen.